Today we're going to complete this series entitled Suffering and Faith, with today being part three. Part three, Suffering and Faith. We started the series by being reminded of the last verse of Revelation 12, and again I'm going to read that quickly. Revelation 12 and verse 17 says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, angry with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." You know, last night, or yesterday, I should say, all the way up into last night, been having the tape machine downstairs recording some of the videos from last year and last year's feast in order that they'd be able to take those with them to New Zealand, but the worst can take them with them in case they're not able to have any kind of a hookup this year by sound. That might even be a better thing for them down there, because purposely didn't send them the tapes overseas for that reason, so they'd be able to have those from last year. And listening to part of the introductory sermon yesterday, as I was trying to get everything set and make sure everything was recording properly, and struck me again by talking about some of those things, how that was one of the hardest feasts, most difficult feasts to get to, in the sense of all the hardships that people were going through before the feast last year. And I don't know if you remember some of those things. You do if it happened to you. You know, and a lot of you shaking your head, yes. And I remember a lot of situations of things people were going through before the feast. But this year, brethren, has made last year's seem kind of mild in some respects. It's been a very, very difficult year. It's been a very difficult summer for a lot of people. A lot of hardship and a lot of trials that people have been going through. So again, we need to recognize that there is a tremendous power that's stirred up out there. And it's getting worse, brother, and it's getting worse in the world around us. Things are being stirred up. There is a force at work. And God is allowing that because we are drawing closer to an end time, in the sense of a time of great tribulation that we've always talked about that was going to come on this earth. And so as that gets closer and closer, Satan is becoming more riled up. And there are a lot of people, obviously, who don't believe in that being. But before it's over with, they're going to come to learn a lot of things. And in time, they're going to believe there are powers at work in this world as they experience some of those things. So again, it says he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that which remains, that which is left over. And that seed is speaking of the church, and there isn't a whole lot left over concerning the church. I marvel at that. I used to wonder about, where is everyone? What is going on? We spent time trying to find out where people might be and having fellowship, striving to find people of the same mind in many respects. And it's been a very, very difficult thing, especially when you come to a stark reality of the condition of the church and what's happened to the church. And what's happened to the last third is exactly what happened to the first two-thirds. The people have gone back to sleep. And if you have an ability of being awakened and you have an opportunity to be alert to things that are going on, thank your God, because you are in a small minority of people that have been able to be awakened in this end time, because the church as a whole is fast asleep. And so that which is awakened, that has the Spirit of God stirred up in it, Satan knows who they are. Satan knows where the church is. He always has known where the church is. And he's gone after it, brethren. We need to understand that he's very riled up, very stirred up. You may not believe that. You'll be made a believer. There are things you don't believe. God will make a believer out of you. God will allow you to know certain things, to experience certain things, and you will believe. So you will come to believe it in time, if you live on into, speaking of that period of time and going on into the world tomorrow. And if you don't, you'll still come to believe it. But at another time, long way up the road, when you're resurrected again. And God teaches you in a different way. So it says, "And they went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." So if you're able to hold on to those things that God has given to you, if you're blessed to be able to hold on to the trunk of the tree, and those things are a part of you and growing inside of you, and you have that testimony, that witness, because the only way you can do that is if Jesus Christ is working with you. You know, if you're being drawn by God, if you aren't yet baptized and you're being drawn by God and you have an opportunity to make choices in your life regarding this way of life, which I can't cry out enough to young people, because there are things I understand. There are things we don't grasp or can't see fully yet. As someone who has obviously been around for some time, who has had the impregnation of God's Spirit working in their lives, that have a knowing, it's like, if you can put yourself in the place of whatever age you are, 12, 13, 15, 17, 18, wherever you are, and there are things you try to explain perhaps to a younger sister or a younger brother or someone who is 9, 10, and 11 about things that will happen to you in high school as an example. You can communicate to them in a limited way. They can see certain things. They believe what you're having to say because you're saying it and they trust you. But to really grasp and understand it, they don't yet. And that's the way some of the things are concerning the church. See, because I know where we are in time. Very powerfully so. And I wish I could convey that more to you, and especially to young people. There isn't a whole lot of time left. And the very fact of what's happened to us as a group is witness of some of those things. If we could just understand that and understand where we are now. That's why I have a stronger belief we have a little bit of time left, because I know what God's doing with us right now and where He's leading us right now. We have an opportunity to do one primary thing yet ahead of us as a group. And what else God does someplace else, I don't know. But I know what He's doing with us, and that's what we have to go by. You want God on your side. You don't want to horse around, fool around, flirt with this world. Because the more you do, the more you hurt yourself. I know some will hear and some will take it to heart and others won't. And those who won't, you're going to suffer incredibly so in this earth. You're going to be right out there with the rest who suffer without hope. I hate to see that in anyone's life. Especially knowing that you've sat here and listened. That some of you have listened on telephone hookups wherever you are. Young people out there. Because it's not going to depend upon what your parent does in certain areas of your life. It's going to depend upon what you do and what choices you have as to what degree God will intervene in your life to bring you through these things. Say, how much do you really believe these things? Do you believe what God is doing? Or do we want to fool around with this world? Because you have choices to make. And it's hard to grasp what you've been given. I understand that. It's so awesome what you've been given. It truly is. Things that you are able to understand and to know. I hope you make the right choices. I hurt when I think back about YOU. How many I've spent so many hours with, days with, weeks with, months with, years with, and they're not around anymore. And I know what they're going to go through, save that God may shake some and stir some as they go through some very hard times to learn what they had, to come to understand what they had at one time. You can't give that to anyone. It's between you and God. It truly is. And if you're in your teens, especially your mid to late teens, it is between you and your God as to what you believe and what's going to happen to you. Don't mean to try to scare you. It's just a reality. Things are going to happen. I think often about Noah. I think, what an incredible thing. He lived in a time and he knew something was going to happen. He lived his life accordingly. They built an ark. People laughed at them, made fun of them, mocked them, him and his family. He knew it was going to happen right up to the very end. It was a reality. As he warned people, as he told people, who listened? No one listened. No one changed. No one repented, young or old alike. And so God destroyed the earth at that time, mankind and every living thing on it, except for that ark and who was on it. And God is getting ready now at the end of 6,000 years. That's where you live. It's not a pleasant picture. It's not a pretty picture. But it's a reality. So it's better to face up to it and to address it as to ignore it and think that it's going to go away. I'm sorry, it's not going to go away. You have choices to make as to how you live your life. So again, through this sermon, we've been reminded that suffering through trials comes in various ways. Certainly the one mentioned here in Revelation 12:17, that there are things that come directly from Satan and from demons in this world, especially upon the church. Young and old alike, some of you young people, and certain things are pressing in around you. Don't think this is just about your parent or your parents. It's about you as well. So yeah, there are going to be things that are going to happen to you that are going to be hard, that are going to try to pull you away from this way of life, that are going to try to pull you away from, put a wedge between you and your parents, put a wedge between you and people in the church or the church. There are going to be things happening to you out here to work on you, because there is a being that wants to destroy everything. And one way oftentimes he can get to the parents is to get to the children and make their battle that much harder and that much more difficult. So it's on you too. It's on you in this world as well. It's not easy out here. It's hard. But if you want this, you're going to have to cry out to God to deliver you, to bring you through it. That's the reality. And you don't have a whole lot of time left. you don't have a whole lot of time left. It's incredible to understand where we are, brother, in the end of 6,000 years. Sometimes we grow, we're strengthened in character, we learn as a result of obedience and the repercussions when we obey this way of life and the hardships that come upon us because the world isn't geared toward this way of life. So sometimes, just not even talking about Satan and demons. There are friends, there are work associates, you know, people where you work and so forth, and others, neighbors, family, whatever, that don't like what you do. They don't like what you believe. They don't like you're taking off for the feast. And so sometimes you're going to suffer for doing what's right. Sometimes we suffer, trials come upon us as a result of disobedience to God, resistance to God. And so then we experience our selfish human nature and the battle that ensues as a result of that. And you're beating your head up against a brick wall when you fight against God, when you disobey God. And you will learn, or at least you have the opportunity to learn. Whether we learn the lesson or not is another matter. Sometimes we experience suffering and trials as a result of simply time and chance, brethren. God allows us to experience time and chance. Accidents that happen. Things that happen as a result of our bodies just decaying and getting older. There are things that people are experiencing out here as a result of just growing older. My hearing isn't as good as it used to be. Driving here today, and my wife and son both talking about a noise they're hearing in the vehicle. If the windows are down and the conditions are just right, I can kind of hear it. But I don't hear it that well. And they said, don't you hear that? Well, I feel kind of stupid, you know. Bad, because I don't hear it. I'm falling apart. And in time, I know I'm going to fall apart a whole lot more if time were to go on. And I see people that get older, they go through hardships. I can't help but think about what Bob Gehr, that individual, told him. And he said, this getting older isn't for sissies. There's a lot of suffering in people's lives as the body gets older. So sometimes it's things we learn through time and chance, through just aging or whatever it might be, health conditions that come upon us because of the foods that are out here and the things we may strive to do in the best way we know how by obeying certain health laws. Still going to come upon us because of this world is so polluted in every fashion. And we're going to suffer. And God lets us experience that. But unlike the world, brethren, we have an opportunity of a relationship with God to come through all trials, all suffering and hardship because of that relationship with God. And on that we rely. In the last two sermons, we went through the story of Job. We focused on things that we learned through our suffering. We looked at different things as we went through some of that story. And I marvel how that's preparing us for some things we're going to hear at the feast, and even some things today that are preparing us for some things we're going to hear during the feast. And especially, brethren, when coupled with the faith that God blesses us with, in which we're able to grow. Because that all goes together. God uses these things. That's why we were made physical. That's why we're made like this, so God can work with us when He calls us, when He deals with us as human beings. And toward the end of the sermon last Sabbath, we reminded ourselves of all the suffering the Apostle Paul went through. I think about these things often, brother, and we need to. All the suffering he went through in very strong faith of his calling. The more you understand your calling and recognize what God has given to you, brethren, the more you can grow, the stronger you can become. He spoke of being whipped 5 times, each time receiving 39 stripes. And I just think about the church today and how spoiled we have been and what's happened to us in the last 10 to 15 years. And I think if people had to go through that, where would their minds be? Would we be able to keep going forward and keep holding on this way? Or would we maybe bend towards something else and thinking, well, where's God if I have to suffer like this? We don't understand sometimes the purpose of some of the things we go through and why they're there. Just like I mentioned last Sabbath, sometimes it's for others in the body to learn from, to grow from. So he spoke of that. He spoke of being shipwrecked 3 times. And on one of those occasions, spent a day and a half or whatever it was. I think it says a day and a night in the Mediterranean there in the deep. He went on to say, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils by the wilderness, in perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So anytime any of us are going through a trial, all we need to do is go back there and read about Paul. That's truly all we really need to do, is just go back and look at what Paul went through and then be thankful. Be thankful you've never had to suffer like that in your growth and what God has called you to go through in order to be a part of His family, in order to share in the calling He's given to you. Because none of us There isn't anyone alive today who's gone through any kind of suffering like that, not in any remote form. We can't even begin to grasp and imagine what that's like. I cannot imagine what it's like to be beaten, whipped with 39 stripes, let alone going through that five times. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because oftentimes, and it's a natural human thing, what happens when you start suffering? What happens when you go through a trial? You know what the mind tends to do? It does exactly what happened to Job. It kind of starts to bend inward. We start thinking about ourselves and woe is me. And we do. It's just a natural human tendency. That's the way we are. Who likes pain? Who likes suffering? Not a one of us. Pain is painful. And we don't tend to like that, obviously. Verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. I want to begin here today with this last set of scriptures that we ended with last Sabbath. But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. So again here, Paul is speaking to Timothy. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me. Brethren, it doesn't matter what we go through. Because it's not a matter of every occasion. There's suffering that sometimes we carry with us a long, long while afterward. There are things we can go through in life, and the suffering that we've experienced, we come through it and we're able to deal with it. Doesn't mean that everything is taken away, or that we're not going to have it again, or it's not going to come up again, or something similar to it's not going to take place again. But we are able to keep going forward. That's what this is all about. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you're going to live this way of life, young and old alike, it doesn't matter. There are going to be hardships. Sometimes just because of the choices you made and the way the world looks upon it and looks upon you then as a result of your choices. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, those around us. I think it's kind of interesting sometimes the more we grow and the more we change. I think of young people especially sometimes, and they come to conversion in a deeper way, in a stronger way in their life. And they begin to see things in their friends they didn't see before. And they begin to talk about how their friends are changing. And they see things in their friends and how bad they're getting in different areas of their life. And they don't realize, no, they're still the same. It's you that's changing. It's you that's changing. Your mind is starting to change. You're starting to measure things and judge things by a different perspective and by a different standard. And therefore you see them in a light that you couldn't see them before. You see human nature in a way that you couldn't see it before. It's an awesome thing. But continue you, verse 14, in the things which you have learned. Brethren, we have to hold fast to what God has given to us and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. I think if the church would just have remembered, they would be able to understand and to acknowledge Mr. Armstrong was the Elijah to come. If they would have only understood where these things came from and how God gave them to us and how we received them. But the church as a whole has lost all that. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, where he speaks of some things concerning suffering, hardship, faith. 1 Peter chapter 4, and beginning in verse 12. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Fiery trial, things that come to pass, things that come into existence, as some of this word means, which begins to try you in your life. It wasn't there, and all of a sudden it's there, and life is made harder. Life is made more difficult as a result. Don't think about it as being some strange thing, or you're doing something wrong, or, you know, that start judging it in wrong ways and thinking whatever thoughts as far as the human mind begins to conceive of. It says, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. If we understand that it's a part of our ability to grow, to go through difficult things because of what it does with the mind. See, the mind can turn inward, but God wants us to begin thinking, not to be selfish, but to be able to see the selfishness, to recognize our weakness so that it does something else within our mind. We'll see that as we go along here, hopefully more and more. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. He had to suffer. He had to suffer. He suffered mightily at the end, obviously. That when His glory shall be revealed, you might be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. In other words, for doing what is right, for living this way of life, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. You know, people don't like this way of life. They don't like the choices and decisions you make. They truly don't, as far as that which is of religion or your belief. So people don't like that, especially when it comes down to what you believe. And it's different from what they believe and how it affects them and their thinking then toward you. But it says, but on your part he is glorified. So if we yield ourselves to the process, then it's all worthwhile. Then it was all worth it. It all has meaning to it. The suffering of Christ then even has meaning to it, if we understand this, brethren. It says, on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Don't let it be for the wrong reasons. Don't let it be because, like we talked about in the beginning of the sermon, all three sermons, there are different reasons why we suffer. There are different reasons why we have trials. And that which comes as a result of disobedience to God or resisting God, that doesn't help anyone. It hurts everyone, and it hurts us and our relationship with God. And so it says there are things we shouldn't do. So if you're going to suffer, which you're going to suffer as a human being, let it be for the right reasons. Let it be for the right reasons. The world has suffering. The world has suffering, brethren. You think money solves problems? Look at people's lives. Sometimes that's what we think. We think, oh, certain conditions, certain things, certain lifestyle, that'll solve my problems. No, it doesn't. Not in this world. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of God? Incredible, brethren, to understand what we're being told in these things, and how much more even now. Judgment has been on the house of God, and I think of what we've gone through as a church, and I think about the judgment that has already come upon us. We are what we are. We are where we are. And I look forward to God shaking up more people. May have to be through a time of great tribulation. Isn't that a difficult thing to know, to understand? That it would take something like that on this earth? That it's going to take even, brethren, those who have been blessed with the impregnation of God's Spirit. It's going to take that thing which they knew when they first came into the church was going to happen on this earth. The last 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years. To finally see this earth go through what they were told from the very beginning was going to happen, to finally shake some. Do you realize that even then, brethren, so very few are going to be able to be shaken out of their pride, out of their complacency? And you think, how could that be? People have knowledge of certain things. Well, I find it kind of hard to grasp and imagine how the mind could go back to Christmas and Easter and everything else. There are some things that are not easy to understand about the human mind, when it's not sane and when it's not sound. That's why, for some, they have to wait till they've been dead for a while to be able to be resurrected, and then God to get their attention. Because the Great Tribulation won't even get their attention. They'll still justify themselves and what they're doing. Verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing. That means in doing good. That's what we should strive to do what is right, to do what is good, to do what comes from God, to do what God gives us as a right way of living, to believe what He says and then to strive to live by it, regardless of what other people think. It's not going to mean a whole lot to you how others judge you, how others think about you in just a short while up the road. You know, sometimes we try to conform, try to please the world around us by things we do, and we try to look like, be like, act like the world around us, and we don't want to stand out as being different and setting a certain standard or whatever for others around us, because we're going to look a little screwy, we're going to look a little off, we're going to look a little, you know, just being a little different is not good in the world's eyes. What good is all that going to matter a short while up the road? What good is all that going to matter? God's going to bring down this world, bring down this country, and people aren't going to be worried about those things anymore, about striving to live their lives to please others. It's so strong in this world. I marvel at that, brother. You should marvel at how strong that is in the world, that it even affects us, all of us, within the church, within the body, that we don't know sometimes, and people don't know how to be themselves.
So much so that people don't even know how to act sometimes, how to be themselves, just to let themselves come out. Knock, knock, where are you? It's hard for us to be ourselves sometimes. We put on airs, we put on a show, we put on, is it real or isn't it? Sometimes we put on something because we think that's what others expect of us, whether it be for the world or maybe even in the church. Do we do it because we're convicted, because we believe it, because we believe this is right, because this is what is best in our lives and what comes out of us? I fought that for a long time. It took me a long time to come to understand that when God called me. 19, fully involved in the world around me, very much so. And it took me quite a long time, about a couple of years in Bachelor College, before I finally started coming to see that I was, started seeing myself, started seeing how my mind worked, and that I wasn't being myself. I couldn't be myself. I didn't know how to be myself. It's an incredible thing, brethren, the human mind. So again, wherefore let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing and doing good, as unto a faithful Creator. To do it toward God. You want to please someone for the right reasons? Please God, because it's in your heart to do so. I would love for God to say, He's a man after my own heart. Wouldn't you like, unless you're a woman. If you're a woman or a man, you want God to be able to look to you and recognize that, that you desire Him and His way of life and are so very thankful for what He's given you and the opportunities that are just ahead for you. To be able to help change this sick, sick, sick cesspool of a world we live in. Sometimes we just don't realize how sick it is. But we have come to the end where it needs to be destroyed. And that's the only way a new world can be set up, brethren, is for this one to be fully destroyed. I don't know if we can grasp that. The righteousness of God to destroy this earth. It deserves that, brethren. It does not deserve life, but a loving Father is giving us the opportunity to continue in life. Many who are going to continue on into that world. Unlike the flood, God destroyed everything during the flood. But it's going to be as a result of going through the suffering and some of the things that we go through that we have the opportunity this time out of spirit and out of the deepest part of our being to be deeply convicted and thankful for what we have and what we're going to be able to do in a new world. Let's go on to Hebrews chapter 11. I didn't realize it until this past week and going through and cleaning up, moving some things around, trying to make more office space available. We have two bedrooms being used for office now, and we haven't had another computer coming in, which came in today. It's a, what's that called, Macintosh? Apple computer. Fastest computer out there, and that's primarily for editing and so forth of film or whatever. It takes two regular computers like we have, or one Macintosh like that, or one of that type. And so we had to make more room, but in the process of doing that, found a series sermon given 2 years ago called Faith and Suffering. And I don't know if you remember that, but it was before the feast, almost exactly 2 years ago. And getting ready for the feast at that time, we went through an entire series going through and talking about the lives of different people in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And we went through and discussed those things in different series and so forth. And but primarily at that time, we had a different focus. And this one here obviously is entitled Suffering and Faith. I think I even started this with Faith and Suffering, but changed it. Unknowing that we already had a series by that name. But again, incredible, brother. There are some points here today in Hebrews 11 that go along with some of what we were going to go into anyway that we need to focus upon, but in the context, a little different way of what we're going through this time, because this time we've kind of been looking at it in the viewpoint of recognizing the purpose of suffering and the things we go through, and that those things are appointed to us. At that time, it was more a thing of encouragement to recognize what others have gone through, what they've experienced in their lives, and to receive the benefit of that. So let's spend a little bit of time here in the remainder of the sermon going through some of these things and discussing Hebrews chapter 11 as it applies to the context of this particular sermon series. Hebrews chapter 11. There's so much said here. We're not trying to give a sermon on this area here. And if you want to listen to that, you can go back a couple of years ago. It covers chapter 10, 11, and 12 quite thoroughly. But Hebrews 11, verse 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. It says, and what shall I say more? So we've been talking about different ones of faith, things that have happened in their lives, what they looked to, and the periods of time they lived in. It says, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You know, we read those stories and They're awesome stories. But it's hard to recognize for us that we have a calling, that God is working with us in a very unique way, in a very powerful way, at one of the most momentous times of all human history. All human history, the things you have been called to, the time you've been called to, there are going to be people in the future who are going to want to talk to you and spend time with you to know about your time and what you went through and why you went through it. Because this is the pinnacle, brethren, of all human history. 6,000 years of history and what God is getting ready to do. That's why so much of the Bible is written about this time and what we're getting ready to go through. It's such a momentous part of God's plan. Of the entire gospel of the Bible, the good news about a new kingdom that's going to come to this earth. The man doesn't even know he needs. He'd like to see things change. It's like in Iraq right now. We'd like to give them peace. You can't give them peace. You know, so we're going to make deals now and compromises because people want something done quickly. See, and so as many soldiers now have been killed since the kind of declaration was made that the war was over as were killed before. You know, we just hit that milestone, if you want to call it that. Just as many have been killed now through ambushes and so forth as were killed in the first part of the entirety of the war, what we call the war. Awesome, brother, in the world we live in, how sick it is. The politics and the fighting that continue to go on this earth. And man doesn't even realize what he needs because he wants peace his own way. That's why the world isn't going to be happy when they hear that this country is going to come down, that other countries are going to come down when things begin happening out here. It's not going to be a pleasant place to live in, especially with the belief you have. There are going to be some things happening, brother, out here that aren't going to be well liked nor loved by any measure. They're not going to like what they hear, especially as it's happening to them. And they're told, this is why it's happening to you. You live at a time when there's a new world coming. Jesus Christ is returning to the earth. You have never understood the Messiah and the purpose of the Messiah and why He's coming to this earth. The Jews haven't understood it. And traditional Christianity hasn't understood it. But one day they're going to be able to reconcile their differences in that new world. When God helps them to come to understand, He's coming again with tremendous power and might, brethren, something this world just doesn't grasp and comprehend. Godspeed that day, brethren, truly, truly, truly. So it's going to get nasty out here, brethren. It's going to get bad out here. It's going to get real bad. And people are going to hate what they see taking place because they don't want God's way of life. They don't want God's government. 6,000 years, God's let him try different kinds of government. Do you grasp the magnitude of that? Do you grasp the magnitude of that witness? For 6,000 years, God's let man go his own way and try his own governments. At the end time here, man is trying his own governments. And man doesn't understand. It was all for naught. It was all useless. None of it was right. Not any of it was right. But what's right is getting ready to come. In spite of you, in spite of us, God's bringing His government to this earth. Verse 34. Quench the violence, the power, if you will, of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness. Please understand this, brethren, because this is what this is about. So much of our suffering, so much of what we go through, we don't like it when we go through it, but if we have choices when we come to this juncture in life, when we come to this point in time in life, there are things we do, and with God's Spirit and God's help, and by our being able to cry out more to God, we can grow more. We can become stronger. Or we also have choices. We can go in a different direction and begin to turn away from God, begin to become weaker as a result. So it says, out of weakness we're made strong. So if we yield ourselves to the power of God's Spirit, we grow and we become stronger. Out of weakness we're made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn the fight of armies. The armies of the aliens or the foreigners. So incredible things written in the Bible. But none of them of the magnitude of the time you live in. None of them of the magnitude of the time you live in. And I wish you could believe it. I wish you could believe it. Because not all of us believe it, brethren. I wish all of you young people could believe it. I can't give it to you. Just like some of the things people receive, booklets out here and so forth, and the mind begins to be opened up. Because we've had some visits out here, and some have come along to some of the times where we've had fellowship come together, and certain things they see, but certain things they won't accept. Individuals won't accept, and I wish I could reason with them. I wish they would have a reasoning mind to be able to talk about some of those things. But when the mind is set and it's set against what is true, you can't help it. You can't give it. Only God can. That's why I marvel, and we should marvel at what God's given to us, because it's God that's done it. Not a one of us have done it. So again, out of weakness we're made strong. Brethren, it's in an atmosphere of humility that we can be worked with and made stronger in faith. You know that's what hardship does, trials do. God is able to work with us more. He's able to mold and fashion us more. The more of a humble spirit we are, that's why we should cry out for humility. But when you do, be careful. Know what you're asking for, because you'll get to experience it. God will help us to experience humility. And so there are things we'll go through, but it's through that process and that God works with us. And so sometimes, again, it happens in different ways and different things in our life, brethren. But again, we can become so much stronger. That's part of the story here of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul speaks out here. An incredible story. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. He said, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." So he's been contending with different ones at different times and talking to them about, he's been fighting, frankly, dealing with others who come along and try to lead God's people astray by different doctrines and so forth, and claim to be apostles of God and claim to have this and that, very much like what's been happening over the years since the church has been scattered, of things that go on. Verse 2, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows." Well, he's telling a story about himself. He's telling about some things he experienced and went through. But again, he's saying it in such a way that others can take it for what it says, for what they see. He says, "Such a one was caught up to the third heaven." He says, "And I knew such a man." I like the way he says this. "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows." Because he didn't know what happened exactly. He didn't know what it was. Just something that was experienced. And so he's telling about this experience in part as though it were another party. "How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." Said he heard things that can't be spoken, can't be said. What were those things? Maybe things of the future. Maybe, I don't know. But it was talking certain things, just like the transfiguration that took place, and people who misunderstood what was taking place there. There were certain things that they saw that had to do with the future of something that was going to come into existence in time, and those that would be resurrected in time. And so whatever it was, he saw things, he heard things. Verse 5, "Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities." So he's talking about there was this that happened, and it was real. And in essence, that's what he looks forward to, because he realizes there's something going to take place in time when there's going to take a change take place in his life. And we look forward to that, brother. We look forward to what God has called us to, the change, when we're in the family of God, the God family. And we look forward to those times with great desire, with great anticipation, when we're no longer a physical human being, but spirit beings. And I'm talking about those who are called to the first resurrection as a whole. And otherwise, we have our lives to live and continue on in the church and continue to live in this physical life. But all of us will come to that point in time. It's just a matter of time. You don't, you know, young people, you don't want that yet. You're not ready for that yet. You have a whole life to live, and so it should be. You know, people want to have families, want to have children, or whatever it might be, or live their lives and their occupations. That's what God intended for you to do. You'll have that. I think of some people talk about quitting their education and quitting certain things because we're almost at the end. Well, don't you think if you live on into a new world, you're going to need education then? You know, do you just stop? Or learn a trade, or whatever it might be, or we just stop in time waiting for things to happen? No, you continue forward. You know, you're going to have a whole life to live. Anyway, going on him telling the story here, so he has that which he says he would glory in, but not of himself. He says he will not glory, but he says he glories in his infirmities. Well, he goes on to explain the story. Verse 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool." You know, there's a natural inclination within human beings to address certain things by, as a result of our own pride as human beings, and maybe even with knowing what God has given to us. And people have done that in the church, made big mistakes. They've taken on things for themselves that they should never have taken on for themselves. He says, "For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be or that he hears of me. So he's saying, there's so much he's going to tell. There's so much he was going to say. He said because, in essence, he understood that there is that which wouldn't be healthy for others. If he told the entire story of what took place and said these things happen, he said there are those things that this individual that he's referring to here, or what he's telling, that if he told the whole story of what took place, that there would be those who wouldn't be able to deal with it properly and would esteem him to a level, to a plane that God never intended, that is not right. And it wouldn't be healthy for them. So he's saying, you would do it for the wrong reasons then, in essence. And he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, because that's human nature as a whole, there are battles we fight. Brother, I remember Mr. Armstrong, unlike another individual we experienced, who, when he would come out on the stage, the Feast of Tabernacles, and I remember Mr. Armstrong getting fairly upset one time at one Feast of Tabernacles that I saw when people continued to applaud when he came out. He allowed it to a point. And then he got a little upset and told people to stop. There are things he understood that weren't healthy for him, and it wasn't healthy for them either. He understood that. And then there was another individual who did just the opposite. And I remember one time being in a meeting with him when he said, he stopped the whole group and said, can't you do better than that? Can't you do better? It's two different minds. He stopped us up in Buffalo, New York, one time when he visited there, and said, can't you do better than that? And stopped the whole crowd and then started them in again to do something better. More applause, more applause. And he did his hands like this, or in circles, and raising his arms up the air, you know. More, in essence. It was about him. He went in the wrong direction. He didn't understand what was taking place. And so many of the church didn't understand what was taking place. But it's showing two different minds there, isn't it? And this is a part of what Paul is talking about. There are things that are not good for us, brethren, and there are things that are not good for others. Verse 8. There are some things, brethren, I hope you understand you shouldn't even talk about. It's not healthy for you, and it's not healthy for others. We have tended to do that at times in our lives. Supposing this or supposing that. Supposing who's going to do this and who's going to do that. Let God do it. Let God make it manifest. Whatever takes place in life, and it's not healthy for us to do those things. Starting in verse 6 again, he says, for though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. There are people who have thought that this had something to do with his eyesight, that perhaps his eyesight was getting weak and he couldn't read as well, and that maybe the sight, brethren, feel very strongly it was far, 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 far more than that. Some have felt that maybe it was because of different those who claimed to be apostles and some of the Jews who went around following him around, causing him the problems he did from church to church to church. Well, brethren, whatever it was very strong as far as his life was concerned, and he desired that God would remove this from him. And God told him. It goes on to say in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. And if we could all just receive that message ourselves, brethren, because of what God has given to us, that's why I marvel sometimes and think, do we really grasp what God's given to us? And I know we can to varying degrees, but brethren, we lack so much in that. We truly do. Just because of being human and because of our experience within the church, if we could grasp what it means just to be awake. I know that there are individuals who are so on fire right now because, you know, it's kind of interesting. And there's a good lesson in all this, brethren. When you have received things over a period of time, maybe several years, there is a knowledge and understanding we can have and an appreciation and thankfulness to God for what he's given to us. But brethren, when someone has not heard it, and all of a sudden the answers are there for them that wrap up many years of history in the church, of what's happened to us as a church, and all of a sudden they're filled with understanding of these things, and everything begins to fall into place in a very powerful way, and that first love begins to well up within them again. you're going to experience some of that at the feast this year. Some of you have been around for a long time. And there's something to be learned from that, that we can learn from one another in that. Because there's something of the human mind as we receive some things gradually, or as we receive perhaps something later on very quickly, and how we see it at that time. Because if we're gradually given something, I'll give an example going back in time here. I think of the times of Mr. Armstrong dealing with different ones that went through college, different ones that went through the beginning of the college, and they lived through a lot. There are different ones who lived through a lot, and different things happened, but they happened slowly, especially back then. Things had happened pretty fast here in this period of time. But there's a period of time when things happened slowly, and things were revealed by God in different ways at different times, in through the 60s and on into the 70s. I remember early 70s and came into the church in 69. I remember in 72 when God began to reveal to him things about the human mind. And he started talking about these sermons and finally came out in the book, The Incredible Human Potential. But I remember there were ministers and some people who left the church who got upset because they thought, as he began to speak of, there is a spirit in man. And that God is able to communicate with that spirit through the Holy Spirit, but not to confuse the two. And there were some who didn't get it, who didn't understand that, and they thought he was starting to teach the immortality of the soul. He wasn't teaching that. But because of their weakness, that's what they thought he was saying. And he wasn't saying that. And so different things. Finally, later on, Pentecost, 1974. Things were revealed about Pentecost. And look what's... Well, I don't want to go into that. Get into a whole other sermon. But brethren, a little bit at a time, through time. And then there are people who were called after everything about Pentecost was already taken care of, all those other things, the spirit and man. They didn't have that history. They didn't know all the things that took place in that length of time. And so when their minds are opened up and they have all this truth, I think of people who were called, as an example, 81, 82, 83, 84, and in through there. And everything was, as a whole, brethren, set at that time. Everything was set as a whole. The truths that we had, knowing, you know, the trunk of the tree and the things we had to have. And when people don't have that past history and they're stirred up in spirit, do you see that there's a difference between someone who's brought along over many years and some who are around Mr. Armstrong a lot and begin to take things for granted? And there's one sermon, brethren, that stands out in my mind, that I hope stands out in your mind, when Mr. Armstrong began to put things back on the right track in a very powerful way, and he came back and was going to have Friday night Bible studies again and even in Sabbath services. But in one of those tapes that we've played in times past, he talked about how many ministers, you know, where are the ministers? He didn't see any ministers, any faces he recognized that normally in times past would have sat on the front row. And he said, are there any ministers? And someone way at the back held up their hand. And he was so upset by that time, he blurted out and he said, and you don't even count. Do you know why he was saying that? Because that person wasn't up on the front where he should have been, an apostle of God's feet, to learn. He didn't have the attitude. He didn't have the attitude of support and backing him up, which was especially needed at a time of putting the church back on the right track. And where were all those evangelists and teachers there at Ambassador College? Do you realize how hideous that was at that time, that they weren't there listening? They didn't realize they needed what God was giving through him anymore. Because a little bit at a time, brethren, can hurt us if we don't understand where it's coming from. And that's a part of a difference of things sometimes we need to grasp in some of those things even now, brethren, because that's why I think it's healthy for some to appreciate some of those things even now. Because some of you don't know what you have. Because you've been around it for some time. There are people out here, brethren, who are extremely thankful and grateful for what they have. That's why I say, do we grasp what God has given to us? I'm pausing, brethren, because I tell you what, God's making it very, very clear here that there are things we don't grasp out here. And you have but a short time to get your life in order, young and old alike. And I hope we get our lives in order and fear God. And fear what's coming on this earth. This congregation, this church of God, PKG, is not a place of safety. Okay? This is not a place of safety so that somehow, by people that are able to come and be here, if we're able to come and be here together, and wherever people are scattered out here that are listening today, please understand that if you're able to come together and be together in one place, this is not the place of safety. It better be because you have a right relationship with God. and you fear those things that are going to come on this earth, and you believe your God, that God has said at the end of 6,000 years He's going to bring this world down. I hate for you to have to wait until you finally hear two people saying the things that are going to happen in this country. Do you realize that's when things are going to burst loose? When they start telling this country what's going to happen to it, and rain stops and other things happen, just like it did during the time of Egypt? Is that going to shake you up and stir you up and motivate you and make you realize what you have and you understand what you've been given? I don't know why this has been given, brethren, but I tell you what, it puts fear in me. It puts fear in me for you and for your sake. Clean up your lives. Make your lives right with God, all of you, young and old alike. And there are still people out there fooling around with different things in life. I have my own battles too, brethren, and I have to fight them. Please be fighting them. Please fight them. Whatever they are, small problems and large problems. You know, we need to be clean, brethren. God has given us some awesome blessings, but He hasn't given to very many in the scattered church today. Do you know what you have been given? And so God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient to you, Paul." Do you grasp what you have? If you see what you see, if you know what you know in the sense of where we are in time, if you're able to believe those things, if you're able to believe those things in the last booklet that came out, brethren, understand where it came from. Understand why you're able to see it and you can't talk any other person into it. You cannot reason with any other person and get them to see what you see, because either you see it or you don't. Either people accept it or they don't. Sad, sad, brethren. I don't know how much time we have, brethren, but I'll tell you what, things are getting so close. How much more time are you going to have to grow and overcome and change your life? Because you can't wait till all of a sudden everything bursts loose. Because you've been given the opportunity to do it now. And if you don't do it now, you won't have the opportunity then. God will give it to somebody else then. Do you understand that? See, when God gives you the opportunity now, He expects you to respond now, because He's given you the ability to respond now. That's what's unique about you then. If you're any of you who are listening today, if you have the ability to listen today, God is giving you that opportunity to listen now, to receive now what He's been giving. And so He's judging you according to what He's given you now. So He's giving you blessings far above and beyond what so many others are going to have later on when they're finally shaken. They have to go through a whole lot more. It's going to be pretty hard. But if we don't receive what God's given to us, then He'll just give it to someone else. Because there are set numbers, in essence, brethren, that God is working with as well within the church and within those in the environs of the church as well. So I hope we have ears to hear, young and old alike. So He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, and My strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul understood something very deep here, brethren, about how he can become stronger in God's way of life. And he realized it's through his suffering. It's through what he's going through, especially because Paul knew something unique about himself. It says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's hard to understand and grasp, brethren, but so often what do we want? We want it all to be taken away. We don't like to suffer. We don't like to go through hardship. Verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for the church, for this way of life, for what God has given. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Do we grasp that? Do we recognize that it doesn't matter where the trials come from? Even if it be as a result, brethren, the best thing that can happen to you if you resist God, the best thing that can happen to you if you disobey God, is that you suffer for what you did, especially in the environs of the church, is that you get caught and that you suffer and that hardship comes upon you. That's the best thing that can happen to you. But you probably don't believe that. I pray that for people, for individuals, especially in the environs of the church, whether it be my own family, my own children, it doesn't matter, myself, brethren, that there be some suffering when we resist God, when we disobey God. Because see, if we don't, then we do what the world does as a whole. We think we get by it, that we don't get caught. You know, just like Adam and Eve were told, you know, you partake of that, you're going to die. and say, oh, you won't surely die. And so they live longer. And so I didn't die when I did it. And I just brought it up on all humanity. No, they didn't. We all did this. We did the same thing. Please understand, we've all made the same choices in life, our human nature. We are selfish by nature. But brethren, it's the best thing, and I hope you understand that. I hope you understand that about others as well. The best thing that can happen to you is that you suffer. And you don't get by with it. Because this world gets by with it. What happens? Just like in criminal cases. And they go on longer and longer and longer and longer. And it takes a jury a long time to finally come along. And a judge to finally come along. And things get postponed. And it takes longer and longer. And that's a kind of sick, sick world we live in. Things aren't dealt with speedily, mightily, like they should be. And so people get by. Too bad. Too bad. The best thing for this society is to take care of things quickly, speedily. When someone takes a life, they get the film thrown out because it was obtained illegally. You know, here's a guy on film. He's killed somebody. So, the police, they obtained it illegally. They didn't have a legal search warrant. So you go through all this ramification. They should have taken the guy out immediately and killed him. That's God's way. Put him to death for what he did. Who gives a flip? You know, that some law officers or whatever, you know, smashed a few faces to get it, you know. But that's the kind of world we live in. Oh, you shouldn't be harsh. You know, you shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. I'm sorry, brother. This is a sick, backward world we live in, and man takes advantage of that, I understand. So those that are innocent, so we have to have certain laws, we think. And it's going to be different, a new world, brother. People aren't going to get by with things anymore. I look forward to that day when things are found out speedily and dealt with speedily, when crime is dealt with speedily, and all of this garbage we have today. Because it just lulls people into sleep. And people think they can get by with things. See? Because things aren't dealt with as they should be in a quick fashion. So please understand my prayer for you. And I'm going to go home and pray it tonight. All of you young people. All of you who are older. And for myself. Especially between now and the feast. And I hope it will be your prayer too. You resist God. You disobey God. Please punish us quickly. Please don't let us get by with it. Please bring us down low so we can be humble and know it came from you. Can you pray like that? For those you love? For yourself? It's not easy. Because I don't like to suffer. And I don't like to see others suffer either. But I'd far rather you did if you can be sobered and brought into reality and recognizing you serve a real God and an almighty and all-powerful God at the end of an age. And he hears prayers, and he intervenes. Don't care what the punishment is. How great does it have to be if we can learn it? For when I am weak, then am I strong. But, brethren, that's why I say, isn't it so much better then to suffer for the right reasons? If you believe this way of life, and you live it out here, and you set the example, regardless of what others think of you, regardless of what friends and others think of you, because you're not going to go to the same degree of excess that they go to, what about the pools out there, being like the world? Young and old alike. I've been very pleased to see a lot of changes taking place in a lot of people's lives in the last few months. We still have ways to go, obviously, brother. We have more to accomplish. I have more to accomplish in my life. I have more I want to accomplish in my life. More things I want to conquer and overcome. Hebrews 11 and verse 34 again, a part of that verse. Just reminding ourselves of part of a statement there. It says, after out of weakness we're made strong. Out of weakness we're made strong. Think about all the things that people have gone through in time. Out of weakness we're made strong. I think of what we had to come through in the church before God could do with us and do in us what he's done. I think about how much weaker can you become than to fall asleep spiritually and be brought to the reality of having to admit it. Being able to come to see that's what I was. Because that's the hard part. And I fell asleep. I let down. There were areas in my life. There were areas of doctrine where I let down. There were areas of things where I was being bombarded. And you start to compromise in your mind. You think you didn't? You still have a ways to go then. Because you all did. We all did. I did. So God used those opportunities as he shook us up. Out of weakness we're made strong. So the different kinds of times of weakness, brethren, there are different things that happen to our lives. It's the ability to see ourselves for what we are and to recognize what we are and then to thank God and realize our power and strength comes from God. Wax valiant and fight. So we've been made stronger today. We're able to fight a better fight today. If we had the same things to repeat, that's why we've gone through some of the things we have. It hasn't been a picnic, has it? Waxed valiant in fight. Brethren, we're to become, we're to be made valiant. That's what God is doing with us. Strong. We're to learn to war a good warfare. This way of life is not easy. What you're doing is not easy. What you're fighting for is not easy. Look at all the casualties all around you, on your right hand and on your left hand, that used to be with you in fellowship. So God's teaching you how to fight a good warfare. Because this way of life involves an incredible battle. It really does. If you want it, you're going to have to fight for it. And that's what God's going to see in us, a desire to fight for it, to fight for this way of life. Verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Tortured, not accepting deliverance. How far are you willing to go to stand up for this way of life? And sometimes we just give in. We don't even care if we're not careful. Because certain things by habit of our nature, of our life. And you willing to stand for what's right, regardless of what anybody else says or thinks? Not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Well, some it's not going to be just a matter of a resurrection. It's going to be the opportunity to live through great tribulation and live on into a new world. See, there was a time when the Bible was being addressed more to people who were going to die. To people who were called into the church and eventually were going to die in the church. We live in a different time. Because so many that are listening today aren't called to the first resurrection. They're called to live on, be a part of the church, on into a new world. This is a unique time. There's never been a time like this in 6,000 years where God has worked with some who aren't intended, in essence, as far as the calling is concerned, to have an opportunity to be resurrected when Jesus Christ returns. So we live at a unique time of some who are going to live on. If you want to live on, if you want it, you've got to fight for it. And God's going to know that you want it, that you want to live into that new world. Do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to live in it? Or do you just not kind of care? And if you just don't care, you will die. You will die. Get it into your heads. You will die. And you will be dead for 1,000 years. Because there are going to be young and old alike who are going to die all around you in this country and around this world. A little fear isn't bad. Because it's just about upon your doorstep. This city, every city you've ever been in your life, to recognize how many thousands are going to die because of what they're getting ready to go through, and then to recognize, as you come into a reality of understanding, that God gave you an opportunity, has given you an opportunity before it even starts to happen, that you don't have to be one of those, that you have an opportunity to continue on in a new world. That's grace. And so God says, no matter what kind of suffering you go through, you can't compare it to what opportunity He's given to you. Either you accept that opportunity and grab a hold of it and recognize it and are thankful for it and want to make the most of it, or we want this world now. But you don't have much world to hold on to right now. What if you only have 2 years left, brethren? What if you only have 2 years left before everything around you comes unpopped? Was that 2 years worth it, to be able to go out and do your own thing? To go out and have your own way? To do whatever you wanted to do? What if you didn't have much time left? Is the pleasure and the enjoyment of this world worth it? To go ahead and die for it? Because that's your choice. You want to die for having opportunity to do your own thing for 2 years, young and old alike? I don't care who you are. And I'll tell you what, as this becomes stronger in the church, brother, as we get closer and closer, things you're going to hear are going to become stronger and stronger. Okay? We need to understand what God has given to us. We need to understand that God is not going to be patient with our ingratitude, with our defiance, if we don't grasp what He has given to us. If we don't grasp and appreciate what He's given to us, there will be things happen to us in our life. Time is not on your side. And so if you want to continue to play your games and go through the different things you do in your life, fooling around and flittering around with this world and flirting around with it, God is going to let you do that. But that's a choice you have to make. But He's going to have less and less patience with you as this time goes on. You know how I know that? Because I know what He's giving me of the Spirit to address. I've known it for a few weeks. Because I'm learning some things about how God works with me in my life. as a minister, as a pastor. And I recognize certain things, and brethren, this has happened for a long time, and as those things happen, then they happen later on. It's just the way that God works. It's just the way that God works in our lives. And so He gives us those things in advance so we can respond. That's the way God has always been in our lives. All we have to do is go back and read Revelation to the churches. The seven messages. It's a loving God who loves His church, who tells His people, this is what's going to happen. Do you believe me? You have an opportunity to be a part of it or no. You can repent and be zealous, or you can be complacent. What's your choice? Do we heed the warnings that God gives? So that's why I already know, brethren. At this Feast of Tabernacles, I'm just going to put it real straight. Anybody who does not come there and is in absolute unity and harmony and seeks to be a right example and a right light, I'm going to ask to leave the Feast of Tabernacles. That's how strong it's becoming, okay? And some are going to say, you're too mean, you're too hard. You don't have any idea what's coming then. You don't even begin to grasp the gravity of what's coming on this earth and what's getting ready to come on this world. Do we not grasp, brethren? Does it not mean, are they just words that people are going to die who don't even have the smidgen the opportunity that you've been given? Do you know what God is offering you? Do you even realize in the physical world around us, even as they go through the great tribulation, that a very small portion gets to come through it? But you've been told in advance you can go through it now. What does that mean to us? And the more real that becomes and the closer it gets, that's why it's going to become stronger and stronger, even within this body. I don't care if there are 12 of us left, brethren, in fellowship, meeting together, of one mind. That's the way it'll be. God will take care of those things. God will deal with those things. I know it won't be that way, but I'm just telling you. That's how strong these things should be taken by our lives. To recognize, brethren, the times we live in and how close things are and what opportunity we've been given. I don't know how else to plead and to cry out and to say, please hear, please understand what you've been given, what opportunities you have and the seriousness of it. Because we may be just that close. We may be just that close. So what you do with your time between now and whenever things begin to happen, that's what counts. That's what counts. So again, here are awesome things that people went through, brother, because of what they believed. Because they believed it. It was in their minds. Go back and read these stories on your own back in Hebrews. And go back and read their stories back in the Old Testament. The things that people were willing to go through because they believed God. Because they believed, and they didn't live at the end like we do. They didn't live at a time when we see things coming together in Europe and we already have the history of things that have happened in the resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, the things that have happened to the church, the last era that's come upon us, the things that happened to Philadelphia, the things that happened to Sardis, and all the history that we have evidence of. They didn't have evidence of all those things. There were people in the Old Testament who didn't have any evidence of anything. They didn't even have evidence that the Messiah came and died for mankind. But they believed it. And look at our history. Look at the evidence we have. We have far more than what any of them had before us. So what do you think God thinks about us, to whom more has been given? Much, much more. Say, what is our judgment like then? How do we respond to God for what we have? So it's an awesome thing here to recognize when it's in the mind and you're willing to do whatever you have to do because you believe it so much so, brother. And if you lack in belief, what do? You go to God and say, Father, help my unbelief. I hear certain things, they move me. Certain things scare me. I don't understand the world we live in. Help me to believe. Help me to know what is true. Give me what I lack. Only God can. Not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yes, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Jeremiah, Joseph, Paul, and so many others, brethren, who went through some incredible things in their lives. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, troubled, went through tribulation, tormented. Verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves. We need to understand from this too, brethren, that if you yield yourself to God, young and old alike, you are so incredibly precious in God's sight. If you love Him, if you want Him, if you desire what He has, God is just anxious, brethren, if you will. I don't know how to express it. So desirous that we turn our hearts to Him more and more, that we be turned to Him more and more. And as we do, there are blessings, there are things He wants to. He's called us to bless us. He's called us to bring us through these things that are going to happen on this earth. He's called us to perform things in some people's lives that are going to boggle your minds as they happen. And after they've happened to you, again, of whom the world was not worthy. You think God might say that about you? If you're right with Him, better believe it. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. It's through faith. You know what He's saying? It's through what do you believe? Do you believe it? And as you believe it, then what do you do? Do you start to seek to change your life accordingly? Or are you seeking to draw closer to God? I'm so thankful to hear that so many people have been fasting and fasting for others. We got the message. You know, are we doing that? Are we learning to do that? Are we striving to do those kinds of things in our life? Having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Isn't that amazing? They weren't even there. It was something way in the future. But they did it, knowing that they would receive it. God having provided, is a word here, is foreseen, some better thing for us. Well, we live at the time. We live at a time that's unique compared to them. We live at the end time when that kingdom, that world is about to come, when all these people who went through the things they did are going to have opportunity to be resurrected. We can't even begin to grasp that one, to recognize what this earth is going to be like, governed by God. We're so used to the kind of governments we have on this earth and realize that's just about to come to an end. You live at that time on the earth, having seen some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete. And so there's a plan. And sometimes that's a little difficult to have the patience and to know that a part of it is that there's more to be done. There are more to be worked with. There is molding and fashioning that God... You know what? God is going to mold and fashion right up to the end. You know, that's an awesome thing because God has a plan and a timing. He knows us. He knows us inside out. There are things we're going to go through. There are things yet to be molded and fashioned within us. There are others who are yet to be shaken and stirred up and moved and motivated powerfully by God's Spirit. And they're already being worked with. And God knows who they are. And it's just like Paul. You know, God knew what Paul was going to do when He struck him down blind. He had a plan for Paul. Paul was prepared long in advance. It wasn't just a last-minute deal for Paul when Paul was called. And to see what he was thrust into, the place he was thrust into, that's why there are things we have no idea exactly what's coming and how it's coming, or who it's coming to, or who's going to do what. Because of the power of God's Spirit and how He can work with us, that when we come to repentance and see certain things in our life, and we have the training in advance before all that to prepare us, there are a lot of people out here, brethren, that God has been working with, that God is working with right now to bring through all this. And He already knows in so many situations, brethren, what people will do under certain circumstances. Speaking of those who are impregnated with His Spirit, He has a purpose and a timing He's going to work with them. And so we have to wait till all that takes place. I'd like to see it quickly. This Feast of Trumpets. But it can't happen that way because we know there are a lot of things that have to happen in advance, don't they? So again, we have to wait. There are others to be brought along. Blessings and promises that God gives, we're all going to be able to share in it. Let's end up today here in Romans chapter 8. We have time to finish this. Romans 8. We remain faithful to our calling, brethren. God has given us so much, given us such incredible opportunities. Again, young and old alike. It's not just about being in the first resurrection now. You know, there was a time in the church when people looked back and had those things to evaluate in their life, and they weren't ready. And so time could go on, and they thought, well, you know, later on in life, and if I choose this or whatever, I don't know how people think about some of those things, but there are all kinds of things that people have thought up and counsel about, and things that have happened when people make certain choices at different times in their life. And it's like, well, if these things aren't happening yet, and so there's that doubt in the mind, and people go off and do different things. And isn't that amazing how our lives work? We don't have that kind of luxury of time anymore, where people have time to go out and experiment and wait and see if things are going to happen. You're called now to have that opportunity right now. Well, I mentioned that earlier. If you don't take advantage of the opportunity you have now, when will God cut you off? There are brethren. Just give you some examples. There are some people I've been working with. One example here, for a little over 3 years or so. I asked them not to come back. God's still working with them, brother. because they're not responding. They're not producing fruit in their life. They're starting to hurt the body. It comes to a point in time that if we're not going to yield to God, if we're not going to do the things we should be doing, and that fruit isn't there, and if people begin to hurt the body by somehow going through emotion that somehow they're with the body or in the body, it's better for the body to be able to see clearly they're not of the body. So that someone new or young or in the spirit or in this way of life isn't hurt by someone else's bad example or attitude or whatever else it might be. I don't like doing those kinds of things, brother, but it's part of my job. And those things become stronger as we get closer to the end of the age, and we need to understand that now. Because I don't want to be put in that predicament at the Feast of Tabernacles. But as we go on, and as new people come along, we need to realize how dangerous it is to hurt anyone that God works with and God begins to draw into the church. That's why I'm encouraging a great time for everyone at the feast, but very good behavior at the Feast of Tabernacles for the sake of everyone at the Feast of Tabernacles. Romans 8, verse 16. It's important to God, brethren, and it better be important to us. Things are starting to change right now. We're at a time of transition of even things within our environs of what's taking place and what God is getting ready to do more and more. And we need to know how to handle it in the small ways so that we can handle it in the larger ways as time goes along. This is our training. It's a part of our training. I hope we can grasp that. Romans 8, verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him. It's just a part of our life. And it isn't fun for human beings that we have to suffer, but we have to. That we may also be glorified together. And we are at a unique time, so I need to keep this in context for some of you who are younger. If you choose what is right, there are going to be things that others are going to... This world looks at you differently. You already know that, those of you who are in school and so forth. But if you want to be like them, if you act like them, and they can't tell any difference in you, woe be to you, whoever you are. I don't care what your age is. If unable to understand that, if you're old enough to understand that, then you need to recognize how serious it is. Because not all of you are going to come through this. That hurts me inside. I hope you understand that. I wish that every person that hears my voice today, that I met with, talked with, have eaten with, whatever, were able to hear what's being said. And that everyone could come through what's coming to pass. That God would intervene for you to perform miracles around you and in your life to bring you through what's getting ready to take place so that you would live on into a new world. But not everyone does. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So is it worth it to take a stand? Is it worth it to do what is right? Is it worth it to you, young and old alike? I don't care who we are. To understand what's getting ready to happen and what opportunities we have before us. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or the creation as it is, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Everything in 6,000 years has been gearing toward this point in time, the return of God's kingdom, or the coming, I should say, of God's kingdom, the return of Jesus Christ, the return of the Messiah. For the creature was made, or the creation was made subject to vanity, speaking of human beings. That's the way we were made. As physical human beings. Not willingly, but by reason of Him that is subjected the same in hope. There is that which God can work with within human beings who are by nature selfish. We turn inward. That is our natural instinct. Self-preservation. Whatever it is. We don't enjoy suffering. We want things to go well with us. It's about us. We think. Life is. We want to be pampered. We want things to go well. We don't like hardship. We don't like difficulty. We want things our way. When we're hungry, we want to eat at the place of our choice. Not necessarily someone else's choice. We can laugh about those things because they're so true. You can have four people in a vehicle and have a quick food place, one on each corner. Different one. And if your tastes are just right that day, every person may have a desire for one wants fish and chips. One wants Kentucky Fried Chicken. One wants a Whataburger. So you've got to go to these different places. And so to have peace... And if you have a lot of patience, you may just drive through each one of them. I've done that. Because it's sometimes easier just that all of us can have a little bit of what we desire because our tastes are different. Now, sometimes you're in a hurry and you don't feel like giving like that. No, we're all going to have Whataburgers today. Or chicken or whatever it might be. But, you know, that's the way our nature is. Isn't that an amazing thing about us? But that's the way our lives are, brethren. Made subject to vanity so that God could work with us. There's something in the human mind then that God can, when He gives us His plan and His purpose and gives us the ability through the power of His Spirit to begin to see things that we otherwise couldn't see. And for some of you, I know it's like, I wish you'd just shut up and end the sermon. What is it? 4:21. We've got 9 minutes to go. And you may go over time. Yeah. And others see it. And if you see it, understand why you see it. There's only one reason why you can see. You still may wish I don't go too long. But you may have that battle you're fighting. But the reality is, if you see it, understand why you see what you, why you grasp what you do. And that you have choices to make then with what God has given you. And if you have, then you have something you can hope in. Hope is a good thing. A desire, especially now. Shouldn't that be a hope within you? If you're able to believe that this world is getting ready to go through some incredible hardship, pain and suffering to the degree that it never has, God says it never has, nor ever will again, to this magnitude of what it's getting ready to go through. I was thinking the other day, what's getting ready to happen in Europe? In one day, it is such an awesome thing what God does in one day to bring down the entirety of Europe to humble them. And millions of people destroyed in one day, that people might come to understand in a greater way the power and the might of Almighty God. So that when Jesus Christ returns, there are attitudes out there that have changed, humble attitudes that are ready to listen to what God has to say. Because they know that if something doesn't change, they're all dead men. Just like what the Egyptians came to, brother, and when they said, "We all be dead men if we don't get rid of the Israelites and get them out of this country. We're all dead men." See, they had to be brought low, didn't they? This world is going to experience it far greater than what the Egyptians ever did. Verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who subjected the same in hope." Verse 26. "Likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." There are times when we suffer, sometimes we don't know what to say. Sometimes, have you ever been in that strait where you don't even feel like praying because you don't even know what to say? When it's so hard and so difficult, and yet God knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's in your mind and what you're dealing with and in the Spirit. It says, "But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." There are things sometimes we're not even able to say, but God knows. He's able to know what's in our heart and our mind. And so He allows that sometimes for a period of time, whatever it is, and so that He can teach us things and mold and fashion certain things within us that otherwise, without going through it, we would never learn. Thank God we're able to learn the things that we need that will be of power and use in the future. Verse 27. "And He searches the hearts." He knows what's in our heart and what's in our mind. "Knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So speaking of God's Spirit and that power that's there, that God's able to know what's in our being and what's inside of us in every respect. Verse 28, "knows how to deal with us, knows how to mold and fashion us, brother. He knows what's best for us. He'll work with us. He'll deliver us. But sometimes we'll go through a lot to get where we're going, in order to have certain things molded in us. And you have to realize, we're down to the wire. So some things may be speeded up at times. And some of that speeding up may mean some allowing certain trials. Just like, remember what happened to Job? God may allow Satan to do some things that Satan doesn't understand, that can work to the advantage of molding and fashioning holy, righteous character within God's people. Verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good." Do we? How much do we, brethren? Is this a part of our life? Do you go to this verse when you're going through suffering and difficulty in life, and because the rest of the verse is true as well? "To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." If you know that you have been called, if you recognize, if you see your calling, and you are thankful to God and you love God because of the mercy He's given you in your life, then have a great confidence that no matter what happens to you, no matter what suffering and hardships of life you may experience, that it'll be used in a way that's good, productive. Things will be molded and fashioned within you that there is no other way. Brethren, you've all gone through different sufferings in times past. We've gone through some hell on earth, mentally, spiritually, and some of the battles we have fought. I think of some of the things that prepared us for some of the things we went through later on. I speak of this quite often. I mention to my wife at times and different ones when we visit with them. At least we talk about it, and I think sometimes as a whole when we visit with different ones, especially ones that we know from a certain area, you know, back in Erie, Pennsylvania area and Franklin, some of the things we went through back there prepared us for things that happened later on. And it was hard. So we're all prepared for things, but I wouldn't exchange any of those things for anything in the world because of what it did. Verse 29. So it's a confidence we can live by and a thankfulness we can live by. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So to understand, brethren, we have an opportunity. God wants us, if we've been called the first resurrection, to make the most of that, to recognize there are so many that God is working with, and if you've been called and awakened at the end, how much more has God given you? How much more has God given if you've been awakened in the last era to be a remnant, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren? Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So God has had a certain number, and we're just toward the end of that last certain number. We don't even know how many, you know, how many are there? How many are there yet to be sealed? How many have died that are in the faith? That were in the faith that were sealed already. How many are left that are alive yet to be sealed before a great tribulation finally takes place? I don't know and you don't know. What if there were only 20? What if there were only 40? What if there were only 100 who are yet to be molded and fashioned and have to be sealed for that period of time? Do you think that's impossible? Think we have all the answers to everything? We'll talk about more on that in another sermon, perhaps next Sabbath. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. If God has called you, he wants you to succeed. If he's called you to be in the first resurrection, that's the opportunity he desires to give to you. If he has called you to live on into the world tomorrow, that's an opportunity that's placed before you. And we just have to say, thank you, God in heaven. Thank you. And ask for the help to be able to go forward and continue fight the fight. Them he also justified. That's God's purpose, to justify. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Tremendous confidence, brethren, we can have. And especially to recognize the grace and the mercy that God has given to us at the end of this age, brethren. Make the most of it.